listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700 or on the web at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Pastor and author Clarence Washington Sr. in studio with me. Hi, Pastor Washington.
How are you doing, Jim?
I'm good, and I appreciate you being here. You've visited with us about every 3 or 4 weeks for the last few months, talking about your 4-book series called Hijacked. And you really believe that when Dr. Martin Luther King gave his speech on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in 1963, he was giving a biblical outline, roadmap, if you will, for how America could be united. And all men, men, women, how everybody could enjoy the fruits of freedom and liberty and justice in a way that God intended it to be. And you believe that his message has been hijacked, and maybe some even unconsciously, but some with malicious intent. So we're going to talk about a little more detail about your fourth book. It's called The Recovery, and really has to do with what you believe we are all called to do now, and some special things. So let me start by saying this, or asking you this. Where has the church been in the last 2 to 3 years, especially since George Floyd was killed? Where has the church been in the midst of all of the social unrest?
Well, I think the church has been not only in the last couple of years, but in times prior to that, the church has been distracted with things other than what God has called us to do in order to be the salt and light of our community, so that we could set the example of how the social ills can be resolved. We have been busy doing other things. And so we find ourselves in the situation we're in right now because the church has not been the church.
Mm. What needs to happen now to heal our country?
Well, as I said, you know, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, the church needs to lead our nation in a nationwide revival and reformation. But first of all, the church itself must be revived, because we have to be able to qualify ourselves to do that. And as I stated in chapter 4, I believe that God has had a special calling for the black church to spearhead that revival, to spearhead the revival within the body of Christ, which will then take that revival and reformation to the rest of America.
You know, when I hear about an executive spearheading a cause, I'm thinking about somebody taking control, but you're actually asking the black church, black citizens of this country, to be humble and extend forgiveness as part of spearheading that effort.
Oh, well, that's the only way you can do it. The only way that you're going to be able to engage in a revival is going to take humility, because that's what revival does. That you have to be humbled and willing to follow the direction that God gives you. And so no one is going to follow, the church is not going to follow anybody that is not showing a great degree of humility. And so it's important that, number one, that the black church must forgive America for the ills that were perpetrated against them, so that they can then be the leader in a revival and reformation.
You know, Dr. King could be labeled by many as a radical.
Mm-hmm.
But when I've read your books and I've thought about what Dr. King did in terms of nonviolent resistance and protest, that was radical.
Yes, it was. That was radical. And because it's radical, because Dr. King, his whole ideology or whole philosophy of nonviolent resistance was based in unearned suffering. And the basic principle of unearned suffering is that you must be willing to give up what little you have, what few civil rights you have, in order to get all that you deserve or all that there is. And so that's a principle that not many people want to do. They don't want to give up what they have in order to get everything that they deserve. And so that is a radical principle.
You call Dr. Benjamin E. Mays, a spiritual mentor to Dr. King, and you state, here was a man who believed with all his might that the pursuit of violence at any time is ethically and morally wrong, that God and the moral weight of the universe are against it, that violence is self-defeating, and that only love and forgiveness can break the vicious circle of revenge.
Yes, there's no doubt about it. You know, Dr. King, as I said many times before, he believed that the means is the end is pre-existent in the means, or that the means are the end in the process of becoming a reality. And so there's no way that you're going to be able to obtain constructive end or a positive outcome with negative means.
And you believe that what's happened since Dr. King spoke 68 years ago has been exactly the opposite of what Dr. King's dream outlined.
Yes, because if it had not been, then his dream would have been a reality, because we have to keep in mind that Dr. King's dream is a God-given dream, and when it's executed properly, then it's going to bring results.
It seems counterintuitive to have an enemy who's persecuted you, who's discriminated against you, who's talked bad about you. I mean, I can't imagine all the things that black citizens of this country for the last 200 or 300 years have endured.
Yeah, and again, I'd say that is the principle of unearned suffering. That's why it is so powerful, because it is it's radical when you think at how the world thinks about solving the issues of life. And that's why it does have such great power, because it has great spiritual power.
What are you calling black Americans to do now?
Well, I think it has to start with the church, number one, because black America cannot do what God wants it to do in order to obtain, in order to make Dr. King's dream a reality, without the leadership of the black church, because the issues in America are spiritual problems, which means that they must be solved with spiritual means, which means that the church, the black church, must lead that. And so the black church, one, has to be revived itself, so that in its thoughts about white America and what it is preaching from the pulpit, so that it can then lead the rest of black America or condition the rest of black America with the right attitude, so that it can then bring unity among black and white Americans.
Contrast, if you would, maybe a couple things. Biblical principles of what Dr. King believed with the actions that you describe now as the hijack.
Well, Dr. King's dream, of course, was biblical in every respect. When you look at what he said, you look at his dream goals and dream methods, it is biblical. When you look at what's happening today, it is very secular in nature. There is no real mention about forgiveness. How many times have you heard a civil rights leader talk about forgiveness, the F word? Mm. You know, you just don't hear it.
Oh, I've heard the F word, but it wasn't forgiveness.
Well, it wasn't forgiveness, yes. And so we know that right away that Dr. King means were spiritual means. The ways that are being used today to try and bring about change are secular in nature, and they will never work because they don't give glory to God. And so the biggest difference between the two is that Dr. King's means were established and founded in the principle of giving glory to God in everything that he did. And the way that people are going about things today, they have no concept, no idea, no inclination whatsoever of bringing glory to God in how they're trying to solve the issues today.
This is not on my little list of topics, but I know you've been recently addressing things in terms of public education with the Public Education Department of the State of New Mexico. They begin to, maybe not with malicious intent, but they want to address prejudice. They want to address discrimination. They want to address racism. But they adopt these critical race theory things, and I know you've recently had letters written to the public education department about that very thing and how it's snuck into the curriculum that schools around New Mexico are going to be teaching.
Yeah, and I think what we have to remember that, first of all, and it's a little hard, I think, for parents to even want to think about it, but, and I really think that the public education system nationwide is more concerned about indoctrination than they are about education. And so when we look at what's happening in K through 12, we see that it's falling right in line with Saul Alinsky's rules for radicals, in that children, when you look at even the PED's proposed proposal for social studies, when you look at that, you see that it has a tendency to teach children not to love America, or to teach teach children that America is not worth loving. Let me put it that way. Instead, it is teaching children to critically examine our American system of meritocracy, and then once it and to examine it in light of our past, and not examining it with the idea that we're going to learn what was done wrong so that we can encourage future generations to do what is right, but examine it with the eye of helping students to come up with the conclusion that America is not worth loving. And then once they determine that, then we can take then the students can be brainwashed into wanting to exchange the present American way of living with something else. And this is in line with what Saul Alinsky said, because his whole basic ideology was that the way you move people from where they are to where you want them to be is that you have to produce a bridge, and that bridge is that you you make people dissatisfied with where they are. And so once they are dissatisfied with the current system, the current, in this case, the American system of meritocracy, once they're dissatisfied with that, then they can more easily be moved to an even into a worse system, a system that's a lot worse, if the dissatisfaction is really vast. And so we see this is happening even with our children K through 12, whereas it was happening in colleges, but in K through 12, our children are being taught to be dissatisfied with the American way of living, so that they feel that America is not worth loving. And then once they feel that America is not worth loving, then they can easily be changed from from the American way of living to something that's a lot worse, for example, Marxism. So that's all, it's all part of the plan.
You know, I frequently, and I just thought about this while you were talking, America's not worth loving. The church isn't worth loving. And what people don't realize, when you're talking about America, you're talking about us.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the people. Mm-hmm. It's not a building. Mm-hmm. It's not an institution. It's the people. And when you say you don't love the church, you're telling us that you don't love the people, because
mm-hmm.
we're the church. And so to me, I want to change that perspective to, yeah, if somebody's teaching anybody not to love America, they're teaching you not to love your brothers and sisters that you live in this country with.
Yeah, and you know, and you can see that because when you look at what the left is doing, that's just the left and progressive liberals are doing, they are following Saul Alinsky's principle right down the line. And his principle is very simple, that the end justifies the means, which means that they have a high tolerance for the pain and suffering of people that are caught in the web of their deception, and so collateral damage is an expected part of the game plan. And right now, the collateral damage is our K through 12 students, because they are the ones that are being destroyed by teaching them that America is not worth loving.
Dr. King said in his speech, when the architects of our great republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise to all men, yes, black men and white men, that they would be guaranteed the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So these principles that you talk about that Saul Alinsky espoused, are those designed to give you these inalienable rights, to give you more liberty and the pursuit of happiness?
No.
Or are they contrary to that?
They're contrary to that. However, they are advertised as though they're something good. In fact, they are advertised as leading to a utopia when they're really leading to a dystopia. And so on the one hand, they're saying that these principles are going to lead to utopia, but they're actually leading to the exact opposite. They're leading to a system where only a few people will have control and experience the riches of America, where the rest of, or the masses of people, their lives will be a mediocre type lifestyle. So whereas they claim one thing, but when you look at the system that they're trying to move us toward, which is Marxism, we know that that only benefits a few people and enslaves the rest of us.
And sometimes people, I've had you say that to me before, and I've had listeners email me, jim@abqconnect.online, and say, why would somebody want to turn us into Marxism? Well, it's about control.
Yes.
They want to, whoever it is, wants to go against the form of government that we have now. We have liberty. Even though we're not where we want to be, we still have a lot of liberties. We still have this great country. You can compare our country and where we live and how we live with each other to countries all over the world. I still think we're better.
We are, without a doubt. We have a way to go. But, you know, the beautiful thing about our founding documents is that they're self-healing. We have a good foundation. We just have to apply the principles of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Bill of Rights. So we have a good foundation, which are self-healing. We just have to make sure that they're equally applied to everybody.
Absolutely. Why is the church divided on these matters?
I think the church is divided on this matter because, when people the church is divided on this matter because they are divided on how to apply the Bible to everyday life. When you look at the various denominations, you have some denominations view alcohol one way, so it's how you deal with alcohol. Some are more liberal than others. You have some denominations that treat the issues of same-sex marriage one way and other ones a different way. And so anytime that you don't apply the Bible according to a sound doctrinal meaning, it's going to cause division. If you have your interpretation and I have my interpretation, that automatically brings about division.
Let me try to summarize the question a little differently. Are we called to only love people that agree with our theology or our rules for living?
No, we're not called to. We're called to love everybody. Mm. However, we don't let anybody cause us to compromise the sound doctrine of what the Bible says. Paul said he became all things to all men so that by all means he might save some. But in none of his becoming all things to all men was compromised a part of what he meant.
So we can love people even though they don't agree with us.
Yes, we can love people that we are called to love people that don't agree with us. We are called to love our enemies, as a matter of fact.
Mm. And that is really a profound thing. I mean, reading in Matthew, where Jesus' own words are, you have heard it said that you should hate your enemies and love your neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
But I say you should love your enemies.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, we don't even think about that. Loving your enemies isn't just tolerating them. It's providing for their needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's praying with them. It's hugging them. It's, doing everything that they need to meet their needs spiritually, emotionally, and physically.
Yes, it's one of the same thing for them that you want for yourself.
Mm, I love it. We have pastor and author Clarence Washington Sr. in studio with us today. Pastor Washington is, he's written multiple books. The four volume Hijack series is what we're talking about here, but he's written a book on prayer. You can find out more about his books at, ClarenceWashingtonAuthor.com.
Yes.
And all of his books are available there. He's also a pastor here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, at Abundant Life Church in Albuquerque. Their services are on Sunday at 9:30 in the morning and 11 o'clock a.m. I'm just enjoying every time we get together, and we've got another couple segments with you, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
The largest investment for a family is their home. For decades, Carlos Griego and the team at Bosque Home Services has been taking care of houses. Now, here is Carlos talking with Jim Williams about some of the most common issues homeowners need to know about.
Carlos, tell us some of the common misconceptions between what maintenance is required on a refrigerated air system versus maybe a swamp cooling system.
A really common misconception with refrigerated air is that you only need to have it maintained every 3 to 4 years. Refrigerated air should be maintained every year. There's a lot of different things that can go wrong with that could be prevented, because 90% of our repairs are lack of maintenance. It's deferred maintenance. It's dirty coils.
Bosque Home Services, online at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200. That's HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com or 444-7200.
We are commanded not just to see people saved, but to make disciples, teaching them to observe all things Jesus commanded. Our Shepherd School does this at an exceedingly high level. It is a mentorship program for men to be trained in apologetics, theology, character, prophecy, Bible study, preaching, practical ministry, leadership, and more. This opportunity comes only once every 2 years. Find out more and receive an application at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org.
Hey, Westside. Pastor Drew here. If you are looking for a small church community plus world-class Bible teaching, I want to invite you to Calvary Church Westside. We're a family-focused Bible teaching church at Coors Montano. Calvary Church Westside, where church is family.
KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at essenmacherdental.com. Don't forget that Fernando Ortega will be in concert to benefit Johnny and Friends Ministry. It's called A Night of Hope tonight, 7 o'clock p.m. at Faith Lutheran Church. Tickets are on sale if you go to johnnyandfriends.org/new-Mexico. You can pick up tickets for that event. That'll be a special time with Juan Fernando Ortega. And during our last break today, which will be about 1:45, I'm going to give away two tickets for tonight's concert at Calvary Church for Wren Collective's Jolly Irish Christmas Extravaganza. So listen up when I say call at about right around 1:45, won't be exact. You can call in. Abby will take your call, get your name and number. So wait till I say, give us a call. We have pastor and author Clarence Washington in studio with us. Pastor Washington is a retired engineer, decided to start preaching the gospel. He has Abundant Life Church, and then he just had on his heart to write this amazing book series called Hijack. Pastor, what a endeavor that's turned out to be.
It was a job, without a doubt.
Well, let's go now to another topic. We all hear in the language of social justice today, we hear this word reparations. What is meant by people? I guess I should ask it this way. What do hijackers mean by the word reparations?
Well, I guess I'm not really sure what you mean by hijackers.
I guess I'm talking about the people that you believe have hijacked Dr. King's dream.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, maybe I shouldn't call them names, like hijackers.
Okay, I understand that. Well, I think that one, that they believe that black people are due reparation. Okay. And I think that if I'm understanding correctly what you're asking, but yes, they believe that black people should receive reparation. I believe that that black people are due reparations. The problem is that what's holding all this back is forgiveness. Without forgiveness of slavery and Jim Crow, we will never get reparations that will produce a positive outcome. And that's really important when I say a positive outcome. I'm reminded of how after 400 years of slavery in Exodus chapter 12, it says that the Israelites were given their flocks, herds, and animals, large amounts of silver and gold and clothing. And one commentator, he said that the children of Israel plundered the Egyptians, even though it was done with Pharaoh's permission. It carries with it the idea that they emptied Egypt of their riches. But the question is, did this vast amount of reparations for their time of slavery in Egypt result in a positive outcome for the lives of the children of Israel? And when you look at chapter 32, you said that it did not, because they took the silver, or they took the gold that they had got from Egypt as reparation, and they made a golden calf out of it, which they worship. And as a result of that, once Moses came back from receiving the tablets that had the Ten Commandments on it, the Levites were told to slay the men in the camp, a large number of men, of the men in the camp. And that day, 3,000 men died because of the golden calf. But also the Lord brought a plague upon the Israelites. And so we see that that reparation did not bring a positive outcome. And so I think that the same thing has to should be said about reparations for black people because of their slavery in the Jim Crow area. If the reparation is not used in a way that brings glory to God, it won't bring about a positive outcome. And so it'll be a curse instead of a blessing. And so I think that's one of the key things that must be done. And let me just say one thing about the reparation. I think that sometimes, people get the wrong idea about reparations. I've heard all kind of arguments. I've heard arguments that say that, well, I'm not responsible for what my foreparents did. I'm not responsible for their sins of slavery and Jim Crow. And that's true. We're not responsible for their sins. However, America has a national debt to black people because of the free labor that they received. And so even though, even though white Americans are not responsible for the sins, for the slavery and Jim Crow, as an American, America is responsible for reparations to pay for the free labor, that black people contributed to the American economy, all the cotton that was picked, and black people didn't get paid for. And so, we owe China a lot of money. And when the people that incurred, that accumulate that debt with China, when they die off, then the debt doesn't go away. Our children and grandchildren and great grandchildren will still owe that debt. And also, I think if you are an immigrant and you come to America, even though you had nothing to do with slavery and Jim Crow, when you become an American, now you also partake of the debt. You also inherit a portion of the debt that America owes. And so I think that we cannot say that, black people are not due reparations. My concern is that will reparations bring a positive outcome? And if black people don't get rid of their golden cows or their golden calves, one of which is the Democratic Party, then that they are worshiping, they won't be able to make their long overdue deserved reparations a reality in their life.
Pastor, you mentioned the Democratic Party, and we can't, I guess, talk about this without talking about politics a little bit. You and your book say that the Democrat Party is the Do Nothing for Black People Party.
Yes, it is, and that has been proven. Again, I say that when you are a disciple of Saul Alinsky, then you have a high tolerance for the pain of other people. The Democratic Party has a high tolerance for the pain and suffering of black people. That's evidenced by their support of legalized abortion. And legalized abortion is nothing but black genocide, because when abortion is legalized, then it allows the abortion industry to bring their clinics and put them in easy walking distance of black neighborhoods. And also, they have supported or prevented school choice from becoming school choice. They have not supported school choice, and we know that a good education is one of the things that the black community desperately needs so that they can be competitive, and so that their mean income won't be the lowest. And so we know that that when you look at the record of what the Democrats have done for black people, it's not very much.
You have an interesting perspective on what reparations should be paid to
yes.
black Americans. Tell us about that.
Well, I think that to make sure that the poverty pimps don't get their hands on reparations, and to make sure that it has a positive outcome for the black community, I think that the very best thing that could be done is that if black parents were given a voucher so that they could send their children to whatever school they wanted to, K through 12, and this would have such a drastic positive outcome. You know, I am the product of a good education. I lived in Chicago at a time where the public education was good. I then went to the University of Illinois, DeVry Institute of Technology, and then to Luther Rice Bible College and Seminary. And so I know how important a good education is. And so if black parents were given a voucher to send their kids to whatever school they wanted to, this would bring us out of the rut. That, along with, of course, cutting down the tragic condition of having so many single parent homes in black families. But that is important. And if that occurs, if black people would stop saying, "Look, I'm not going to vote for you so long as you keep me from having a school choice voucher so I can send my children to whatever school they want to," black people are right now, they are strapped with sending their kids to academically mediocre and spiritually toxic schools, and it shows in our medium income. We say that it's because of racism, systemic and institutionalized racism. Well, it's systemic and institutionalized sending our black kids to poor schools is what has caused the problems that we have in America, and we don't want to face that.
Well, this solution, this reparations, if you will, educational reparations, is not just going to benefit blacks. You believe it will transform our entire educational system for everybody.
I sure do, because I believe that once the American people see what a good education will do for a race of people, it won't be long before they start pushing very hard for school choice. In fact, it's happening already right now. You know, white parents are more white parents are sending their kids to private school. They're not going back to jobs that they were before the pandemic. That's already happening. And I think that would also go along with the fact that I said that, that the black church has to spearhead a nationwide revival and nationwide reformation. So all that fits in.
Pastor Clarence Washington in studio with us. He's an author of a 4-book series called Hijacked. His books can be found at ClarenceWashingtonAuthor.com. And he has not only the Hijack series, but he's got a book on prayer and others. We'll talk about those briefly when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is Adam Holtz, and you're listening to Plugged In.
It's the most wonderful time of the year, yes. Dallas. It's Christmas with the Chosen.
The new MovieLink feature, Christmas with the Chosen, The Messengers, is now showing at select theaters as a Fathom Events release. And it invites Chosen fans to ponder Christ's miraculous entrance into our dirty world. Christmas with the Chosen also features popular Christian musicians who've been touched by the series. Artists such as Phil Wickham for King and Country, Brandon Lake, and Leanna Crawford, among many others, perform classic and original Christmas songs. The result? A profound, powerful reminder that our Savior, Jesus, was born into a broken world to save you and me. So we're giving Christmas with the Chosen, the Messengers, a 4.5 out of 5 for family friendliness. Read the full review at PluggedIn.com/radio. I'm Adam Holtz for Focus on the Family's Plugged In Movie Review.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer Program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org or call 990-7588.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
It's time to give away 2 tickets to the Wren Collective Jolly Irish Christmas Extravaganza tonight, 7 o'clock, Calvary Church in Albuquerque. 2 free tickets to the first caller. Call us at 505-338-5790. Abby will answer the phone, and she'll have 2 tickets for you. That's for the Wren Collective Jolly Irish Christmas Extravaganza tonight, Calvary Church. Our number one more time is 505-338-5790. Pastor and author Clarence Washington Sr. in studio. Pastor, we spent a lot of time talking about things that are tough. Is there hope for America in the midst of all of this?
Yes, there's definitely hope. You know, I am the belief that, you know, nothing is impossible for God. He's told us that over and over again. He's told us if we will humble ourselves and call upon him, that he will heal the land. And I'm thoroughly convinced of that. God is just waiting for us to exercise humility, to call upon him in sincerity, and that he will turn things around.
Mm. I think about 68 years since Dr. King gave his speech, his I Have a Dream speech. I think about the years preceding that speech where he was getting, well, and even after, he was killed several years later after the speech. I remember him getting spit on, and there were hundreds of thousands of people that were with him many times, and they were all nonviolent. There was no justification or rationalization of any behavior that you would see today. So I have this question. Would Dr. King support demonstrations, violent protests like Black Lives Matter seems to have organized in this country?
Demonstrations, yes. Violence, no. He is totally in favor of nonviolent demonstrations. But he is totally against violence. He has six rules for nonviolent resistance. And, he maintained his nonviolent stance, until the time of his death. And so he would not support Black Lives Matter, whose slogan is, pigs in the blanket, fry 'em like bacon, what do you want dead cops when you want them now? That was totally against all that he believed in.
Mm. And, you know, there were a lot of black police officers that were injured and maybe even killed because of some of that rhetoric coming out of those protests.
Yes, totally against what Dr. King believed. Dr. King was so convinced of his nonviolent stance that he believed that as I said, in unearned suffering, which says that you must be willing to give up the little bit that you have in order to get all that there is. And so that was his total stance. He knew that it works. He knew that the power that there was in unearned suffering, and he took that to his grave. And until we get to that point in America, we're not going to be able to make his dream a reality.
Dr. Tony Evans is a teacher that is heard regularly every day here on KLYT. Amazing illustrations, amazing biblical perspective Dr. Evans has. So I want to read a statement that he made. I'm going to go back to something you said in our first segment about the church being distracted from its true purpose. Mm-hmm. Tony Evans said, the church no longer hates what God hates and loves what God loves.
Right on target. Right on target. And until it does, that we will not be able to solve the issues that we have. The church is in love with the world right now. And we won't be able to make Dr. King's dream around to America until we start, get rid of our syncretism and trying to divide our affections between God and political affiliations. He's a jealous God. His name is Jealous. We're going to be in the predicament that we're in, until we make him, until he is, the person that we are single-mindedly devoted to.
Dr. Evans also said, I can't get enough quotes from Dr. Evans. He said, if Jesus is your problem, the government is not your answer.
Amen.
Can the government replace the church?
Never. Never. And that is the reason why, one of the reasons why black people in America are in the fix that we're in right now, because it has tried to replace its God. Jeremiah talks about a nation replacing its God or exchanging its God, and how that was a broken cistern. In many ways, the black community has done that. Instead of totally and completely leaning on God to bring about change, they have started leaning on the Democratic Party, and this has caused them to compromise their faith. They have gone against some very clear teachings of the Bible and then tried to justify them, which has just prolonged the problem.
If God has a special calling on the black church for ushering a nationwide revival and reformation, are they ready?
No. No. There has to be a revival within the black church before they're ready to do their part in spearheading a revival within the total body of Christ, and then which would then lead a revival throughout the nation. No, the black church is definitely not ready.
So, Pastor, there are pastors right now that you believe are hijacking Dr. King's dream.
Without a doubt.
And they're talking about this topic from their pulpits. Contrast what they're saying and what they should be saying.
Well, plain and simple, they should. Everything that comes from the pulpit should be in line with Scripture. How can you say that you tell people that should be supporting the Democratic Party when the Democratic Party supports legalized abortion, which, by the way, is nothing but black genocide, because when abortion is legal, black people have the highest rates of abortion. In New York City, for every 1,000 babies that are born, for every 1,000 babies that are born, 1,200 or 1,200 babies are aborted. And so how can you support a party that's passing laws that cause black genocide?
What's interesting to me about that topic in New Mexico is COVID year, we had a primary election in June of 2020. I call it the COVID year, probably a bad word to most people. It is to me. When you think about that primary, the Democratic Party, there were, I believe, 12 pro-life Democrats in the New Mexico legislature. I don't know between the House and the Senate how they were divided up. But Ethel Maharg, who I know is a friend of yours with the Right to Life Committee of New Mexico, she came in before that election and she said, what's going to happen is the Democratic Party is trying to get out of their party anybody who's pro-life.
Mm-hmm.
I found that really interesting that, you know, somebody would go to a point where whatever your ideology is, even though you might be representing your constituents, they don't want you to have that ideology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, that's part of the, that's part of the Marxist movement, is to squelch free speech. You know, they want people to speak in lockstep. And when you don't, when you go against the ideology of the left, which is supported by the Democrats, then they try to squelch your speech in whatever way they can, even to the point of violence. We see that happen on the college campuses. And this is all part of what I call reformation, because what reformation of the government of the institutions means is that the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, the original intent of that is restored as the law of the land and the foundation about upon which all of our government and our other institutions are established upon.
I'm frequently hearing people criticize our founding fathers, criticizing Dr. King, anybody that's been an amazing leader. People will attack the person and point out sin in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you my own conviction is, wow, I don't do that because I look at myself and go, whoa, have I fallen short? I mean, there's more going on wrong with me than there was ever with those men.
Well, that's an age old thing when you can't, when you don't have a good argument against what someone is saying or what they believe, then you, you do character assassination. Mm-hmm. You know, you try to discredit their ideas by discrediting them. And so this is something that, that goes on all the time.
So a pastor that last Sunday gave a message that you feel would be contrary to scripture on this issue. Maybe it's spiritual blindness, whatever it is, the cause. Are you hoping, are you praying that this Sunday or future Sunday soon, they will preach a more godly message?
Always. That's always my prayer, because I know that if America is going to survive and make Dr. King's dream a reality, it's going to have to start in the pulpit, because that's where the responsibility lies. Regardless of what is going on in America, if it is the fault of the pulpit, and the pulpit has to step up and take responsibility for the shape that America is in today, and say that the way things are in America is because I have not been preaching and teaching the kind of messages that God wants me to do. Because if we had been doing that, then things would not be the way they are, because God's messages, His word, cannot come back void. And so if there's a nightmare in America, it's because there's been a nightmare in the pulpit.
Mm. If there's a nightmare in America, it's because there's been a nightmare in the pulpit. Pastor, you're putting a lot of pressure on a lot of different people, but you're also doing it to yourself.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am. I said we, you know, and I think that all pastors have to be willing to accept the responsibility for what's wrong with America.
Yeah. We're going to have you on again here in a few weeks, but I think what we'll do, we've had maybe three or four different interviews about the recovery. I think we need for people to go back maybe and start talking about, you know, the high. We talk about the dream and outline that. Maybe we'll do that in January, and then the first couple of weeks of February, we'll get to the second volume and maybe review for everybody. And one thing I'm going to do next time that I should have done today, but I didn't, is open up the phone lines. You do have a question and answer session tonight available for
tonight
people
at,
for free.
Right, tonight at 7 o'clock on Zoom. If you go to my website, ClarenceWashingtonArthur.com, then you can click on events. Events.
There's a link there.
There's a link there, yes.
ClarenceWashingtonArthur.com. You can click on the link, and you're opening that up to people to ask questions.
Yes.
And just have a dialogue about
yes.
it.
Yes, yes.
Be nice if we got a few pastors on the line to talk to
I welcome that.
This isn't different than anything else that we talk about, but it is affecting so many people. Healing for America could really start, and that's the hope you've expressed today.
It's a desire of my heart, and it has been for a long time.
I've seen miracles, and I'm believing this one
yes.
for all of us.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you for having me.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT.